we've had an opportunity then to discuss House Bill 2139 as they engrossed with the Dash 9 amendments. Are there any objections to the legislative fiscal's recommendations that 2139 as they engrossed with the Dash 9 amendments be passed out of committee? Question?
Mine's a question, and I apologize for stepping out for a second. I still am not completely sure of what the answer is for the SSB.
Oh, I'm sorry. We did discuss that just briefly. Susie, would you like to go ahead and take that, please?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, any excess revenue that is generated and not needed for administrative costs, go to the Highway Trust Fund. So they would end up in their ending balance for use for other highway priorities.
But this is only after the fees that are generated have addressed all of DMV's issues. Because my observation is that DMV is the first portal through which most people access ODOT. And if that DMV experience is not a positive one in terms of lines or any of the other myriad of things that could go wrong, I think that has a tendency to reflect on the entire agency. So my concern is at least reassurance that money from these fees stays in DMV to the degree that it satisfies DMV's needs. And at the point where there's excess, then it would go back to the highway fund.
Now, let me make absolutely certain. Are you here to testify on 2139, Senator? Senator Dukes, am I?
That's what I came for. But
all right.
You're moving in the right direction, so as long as you've got the votes, go right ahead.
There's a wise senator.
Okay. Yes, Representative, we're ready to go ahead. Any further discussion?
Just a quick comment.
Okay, yeah.
And then there was Representative Smith. I just wanted to be known for the record that I compliment and respect the work of the Interim Committee and the Department of Motor Vehicles and the Oregon Department of Transportation. Unfortunately, though, I come from a district that has a tremendous amount of elderly citizens who are on a fixed income, and I come from a district that's extremely economic depressed, and while to some of us these fee increases may not look significant, to people on fixed incomes or to folks without a job, it is a significant amount of money. And so therefore, Chair, I just serve notice I will be casting a no vote.
Okay. Thank you. Others who would vote? For the record, then, we have Senator Farnell, Senator Yee, Senator Johnson, or Representative Johnson, Representative Ringel, and myself. All casting aye votes, we'll go ahead then and pass House Bill 2139 as they engrossed with the Dash A9 amendments. Okay. With that, now we can go on then to discuss. We'll continue forward then to discuss the actual Department of Motor Vehicles. Now, Senator Duke, would you like to testify on behalf of Department of Motor Vehicles, or is that's what I thought you were here for? I beg your pardon.
I'm here for the fee bill.
Okay.
Okay. I need carriers.
Okay.
2139.
Okay.
Before you move on to the next work session.
Let's see. The full.
Sure you will.
Yes, Representative Patrick will carry for the full.
Okay.
Senator Carnell to the Senate.
I only carry the chiropractor.
We had to twist her arm and do some manipulation on her back.
Mr. Chair, I hope that Ms. Jordan will get to this as we move into the next section of the discussion. But I felt quite satisfied with the answers that were given to my question about it will address DMV's needs before money rolls in into the highway
right.
fund. The only piece that I don't have is sideboards around needs. And one man's definition, one person's definition of needs may not be another's. And so I'm hoping that as we move ahead, sideboards on needs will be...
Senator Dukes, may, did you want to testify on behalf of the needs that, please come forward. Now that we've got some money in the bank, we'll start off to spend it. How's...
Now you get the hard part. Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. I'm Joan Duke, State Senator from District 1. And I was pleased to see you pass the fee bill. Last session I was on the subcommittee, and we were the ones who said, you don't cover your costs, go figure out what it's going to take to cover costs. So I'm glad that we followed up on that. But, and I was here for some of your discussions on ODOT's bill and budget, and I remember the discussion about we don't want to close some of the DMV offices that they've already closed, and we want to provide services. And I was also here in the legislature when we had a minimum of 20-minute wait lines, or actually they were longer than that, more like 45 minutes in most DMV offices, and the legislature yelled and screamed at DMV as to why we had that, why so long. Representative Johnson was correct. This is the first thing that most people see when you're 15 years old and you go in to get that first permit, and when you're 85 and you go in to get the ID card. You know, it's sort of the first and last contact with government that you have is DMV. And we need to make sure that it's a friendly place and that it's well enough staffed that we can meet the needs of the constituents who go in. So I'm trying to make the case today that you meet those needs, not just the needs of DMV, because they're not DMV's needs. They're the needs of the public who shows up and doesn't have 45 minutes to stand in line with everybody else waiting to get somebody at the counter, the person who wants to be able to go to their DMV office in Corvallis and not have to drive someplace else. Because if these fees are used properly in DMV's budget, some of those offices are going to reopen, and we will be able to keep the wait times down, and we will be able to invest in the technology that's necessary for people who want to be able to renew online and that sort of thing to do that. It's something that we started last session, and now I believe we need to continue. DMV has done an excellent job. They're one of those state agencies that you say, yes, they're meeting our constituents' needs. And I'm one of those constituents who tends to not mail in the form. I always set good intentions, but I don't quite get it. So regularly I find myself in the DMV office titling something or renewing something. And it's really nice to see that there are enough folks there to be able to keep us all moving. And there are a lot of people out there like me. So I would encourage you. I know that it's tempting to say, well, we can put less into the DMV budget and then more of it will go into the road fund. But what, at its max, what you would get into the road fund is piddling. It's not enough to do much of anything. You know, most highway projects these days are pretty darned expensive, so you're just not going to get much out of it. You will get a lot more bang for the buck, so to speak, if you help out all of our constituents by leaving the money in DMV's hands and allowing them to move forward. If you need to hold some of it up for them to come to the emergency board and you feel that that's appropriate for technology and stuff, that's one thing. As long as the money is there to allow them to move forward with the technology needs that they have.
My understanding, Senator Dukes, that's what there is a goodly chunk of that which would go to the technology and is pending action by the interim Committee on Information Management Technology, the joint Legislative Interim Committee.
And Mr. Chair, we're doing that to most agencies this session, so that's not unusual. Yes. But you do have to put enough money in the E fund to be able to keep them whole, so they can do what they need to do.
As I understand it, this collects revenue during the interim, and then there's interim collections, and then they would be authorized to expend a portion of that. As they go through the process of the Joint Legislative Interim Management Technology Information Management Technology Committee, and then from there to the E Board to get the money actually appropriated for the issues. Are there further questions? Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate your patience while we went through the actual fee bill. At this time, then can we go ahead and have recommendations from the Legislative Fiscal Office relative to, well, let's see, we opened the work session on both Senate Bill 5545 as well as House Bill 2139. House Bill 2139 has passed out before we do pass recommendation, and Senate Bill 5545 the DMV portion of that. I think we had passed all but just a few portions of the actual DMV or the actual ODOT in 5545.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, where this committee left off with this budget, you had passed all of the Department of Transportation's program areas, including the driver motor vehicles division. My recommendation at that time was not to approve any of those packages. Any of the package 203, which was the $10 million that accompanied the fee bill. What the LFO is recommending now is that you reconsider portions of policy option package 203, given the movement of the fee bill, with giving priority to maintaining customer services and restoring those closed field offices. So what you have in front of you is you have a color-coded packet, light blue and yellow, paper put together. The top package top is my memo with the recommendation. The blue is a revised spreadsheet for driver and motor vehicles, and the yellow is the department summary of all of the trucks. So I'm going to work off of the white memo or walk through my recommendation from here. In reconsidering package 203, I'm recommending that you restore field office staffing, which was requested by the department for 12 positions with ongoing costs of $1,075,688 and one-time cost of $15,312. I'm recommending approval of that with a reduction of in the salary personal services to fund reopening of field offices, so it would reduce that package by 4.80 FTE, and that would then go to reopening field offices in Milton, Freewater, Oak Ridge, Coquille, and opening a field office in Lapine. And that is in 1-2 and 1-3, and I'll talk about that when I get down to that package.
Representative Smith is recognized.
Thank you, Chair. What does it take to reopen those field offices?
It takes individuals to staff the office. It takes there's some equipment that they'll have to reinstall or purchase if they have already disposed of it when they close the office, and then it takes lease or rent to rent the office space, and then the ongoing operations of those offices.
Just so I understand, between 6 months ago and a year ago, we closed these offices down, moved all the furniture and equipment out, relocated employees, disconnected utilities, let leases expire, and now we're going to turn around and send them back in again.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Now, in some cases, they were sharing offices with other branches of government, and so it would mean returning with the modified equipment just that equipment, which is particular to the DMV for licensing and those kinds of things.
The specifics for reopening those particular offices, you'd have to get from driver motor vehicles. The cost for reopening it have to do with the equipment. Those that were closed, they may or may not still have the equipment that they used there. The opening of the office in Lapine, they would obviously have to get new equipment for that.
Follow up, Representative Smith.
Well, I applaud the fact they're reopening these offices. Did they come to the e-board to notify the e-board that these offices were being closed?
I'm sorry.
Did they come to the e-board to notify the e-board that these? This just seems like a...
Their reference says no, they did not.
Representative Johnson is recognized.
I think Representative Smith might be onto something here, and I don't know at this late juncture whether it's worthy of any kind of discussion to add something to the bill. But It seems to me that the quickest way to get the legislature's attention is to close DMV offices, and we're now reopening them again in a very short period of time. And I wonder whether or not there's an opportunity to have some level of consultation prior to doing this. It seems enormously wasteful to close an office, surplus the stuff that's in it, and then 6 months later open it up again. And I know, or at least I think, Lapine is a new office, so Lapine is not in this level of discussion. But is that an issue that we should be worrying about? Is this something that we should discuss with the director to get some level of reassurance that the DMV offices don't become a pawn in funding discussions? I hate to be so blunt about it, but...
Maybe Mike Marsh from the Department of Transportation.
Mr. Chair, Mike Marsh from Transportation. Our director isn't here right now, and so I hate to overly commit for him, but I can tell you that it would certainly be our intent to advise legislators if there were further revenue reductions and to get information to you as far as whether it's an e-board appearance or not. I'm a little uncomfortable with committing to that, but I can certainly commit to information coming to the members, and then if the direction back is that they'd like to see an appearance by us, we would follow that up. So I think our process would be advising you of our decision process that's going through the Oregon Transportation Commission. If you'd like to see a hearing coming back, I'll say yes, and then when the director returns to the room, if there is a discussion of some alternative approach, we'll get back up here to the table. But I think the important thing is that we advise you of the options that we're going through, the commission is wrestling with, if we have another downturn in revenues received, and that you have the information that we have, and then if the members indicate that they'd like to have an appearance, we would do that.
Mike, was a portion of this as a result of the reduced number of, it was the fact that there wasn't a 6-cent gas tax passed, I think, in part.
Correct. Mr. Chair, there were several pieces to this, and we've talked about some of it in the committee. One element was that 2082 did not pass and resulted in not just keeping revenues flat, but actually reducing. Another element was that we did have expenditures towards the end of last biennium, which pulled from the current biennium, which meant that we had less money available. And also the forecast itself for highway fund receipts, gas tax receipts, did go down slightly. So the combination of three things really resulted in us needing to take alternative courses of action. It occurred after the vote on 2082 and was significantly discussed over five Oregon Transportation Commission meetings.
Thank you. Representative Smith is recognized.
Thank you, Chair Butler. So when I look at the sheet, I see one time up above. Is that a one-time cost? And so to reopen the free water office, the one-time cost is $70,351.
Susie?
Yes, sir.
So then if we're looking at opportunity costs, the opportunity cost of reopening these offices is what, one FTE teacher over biennium? I think this body ought to be ashamed of the fact that we're doing this. I think that's a waste of money.
I see you've got the three, the Milton, Freewater, Oak Ridge, and Coquille, which is a total of about $156,000.
I guess I would ask what that would mean to your local school district to have those dollars. That's all I'll say on that.
Thank you very much, Representative Johnson. Representative Smith. Other questions or comments relative to the 1-1? Let's see, we're down to the 7.2 positions.
Okay. I recommend, do you want to move on that individually, or do you want to go through it all? And
we've
then
got folks in and out, and I beg your pardon, but we'll need to just go ahead and take your recommendation
and do it
en masse.
Okay, the DMV call center is a request for two FTE. I'm recommending the FTE salaries only. That is at a cost then of $160,122. It reduces that package $89,878. Dealer transactions is six FTE, and I'm recommending the salaries.
Let me ask relative to the two. Those must be supervisory because the call center is at the women's facility. Is that right, Susie?
They're public service reps, and they may be lead worker type people, but they're not a manager, no.
Right, okay.
dealer transactions of 6 FTE. I'm reducing the package by $580, which was an amount of money that was in their services and supplies. So it's salaries only, $894,420. Business regulation program and support is 2 FTE. That's $182,611, reducing the $1,389. And then on the Oregon Women's Corrections relocation costs, of $170,000 is requested by the department. I'm recommending the one-time $81,000 cost only. There was an $89,000 that was just ongoing utilities cost. I'd recommend that be absorbed. Then, I'm
yes,
not sure.
President Johnson?
What do those words mean, ongoing utilities cost? I don't.
Are the bills to pay for telephone costs? Is this the telephone line?
Oh, this was DMV in effect renting space, or
no? This is the bill that you would pay to line charges, that sort of thing.
So they had estimated the line charges to be $170,000. That's one time. That includes the installation of those lines.
Yes.
Okay, and the actual cost should only be about $81,000.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the package 1-2 is the reopening of the field office. That's 2 FTE, $166,017 ongoing cost. That's supplies. I mean, that's personnel services, supplies, and services that to keep the office open 5 days a week. Oak Ridge is 0.4. That's a one-day-a-week operation. Coquille was 2 FTE. That was 5 days a week. And then opening the field office in La Pine was a 1 to 3 day a week. I wasn't sure how many days per week, but 0.4 was very close to the same as Oak Ridge at 1 day. So the total recommendation for expenditure limitation out of package 203 is $2,708,243. In addition to that, I'm recommending that on all of their technology packages that we reserve $2.5 million in the ending balance until the department brings the implementation plan and all of their other information technology packages for review by the Joint Legislative Information Management Technology Committee. So, on the next page, the total DMV budget with packages is $118,464,398. And then you can refer then to your blue sheet for the totals, which is on the very last page, with 849.05 FTE.
That's $118,464,398.
If you need a quorum to do any voting on that.
Right. I appreciate that.
I can run through the budget notes.
Let's come back for just a moment. Now, let me just make absolutely certain that I understand. We have approved in House Bill 2139. An increase of fees to be generated by the Department of Motor Vehicles, total here is $34,617,000. The total revenue for the full biennium, according to your staff measure summary, is $73,114,034. And we're looking at $118 million in costs. Now there are other revenue sources within the department. Is that right?
That's correct.
And do we know how much write off that those generate? We have. I'm sure there's a list of them somewhere too. But
in your budget document with the support documents, that's book two.
Okay.
Book number two, under the driver and motor vehicle section, which is on page 353 of that document are all of the revenue and the revenue sources.
353.
Mm-hmm. So they have $2.5 million from fines and forfeitures. They have other sales of $7.5 million.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the total other revenues from the Department of Motor Vehicles is $319 million.
Correct.
And then we would add to that this 34.617.
No, that includes the DMVC increase.
Okay, because they're
here, because it's part of the governor's recommended budget.
Okay. So the $319 million is inclusive of the $34 million, and we're looking then at the total budget cost of $118 million. So to answer Senator Yee's question,
Before you move off of that, there are some transfers of that revenue for other purposes. Of $189 million, which includes some
money that goes to the cities and the counties.
Cities and counties, and there are specific transfers to the Parks and Recreation Department for the recreational vehicle licenses.
So what's the net amount of revenue after the transfers? Do we know what that is?
That is $130 million on page 355.
355, the net after transfers to cities and counties.
Mm-hmm. That also includes the transfer to the highway trust fund.
Oh, how much is that then?
That is $70 million. Thereabouts.
Okay.
$70.5 million.
All right. Okay, so then if you would add back the $130 million, the $70.5 million, actually the net about $200 million and operate on $118 million.
Mm-hmm. If you would look at the second page of my memo, I put a table in there that shows the current service level budget. There's a out of the revenue
page two
of the memo right here in this table.
Okay.
Their total program cost, the governor recommended $126.5 million. The subcommittee on March 30th had approved $115.7 million. LFO is recommending $118.4 million. In addition, then there's a central service assessment that comes out of the revenue collected by driver and motor vehicles. They have debt service costs for their headquarters building. So the total resource needed is in the middle line there. It's $160 million at governor's rec, $152 million with LFO recommendations. Then out of those revenues, there's a transfer to the highway trust fund that goes to some highway programs. Transportation safety has a portion of that. And then their proposed revenues with the fee increase is identified there. Figure takes out all of those other transfers that go to dedicated sources. So then their ending balance is shown.
The actual transfer doesn't take place until after the end of the biennium of the balance of that, is that right?
It happens quarterly,
I believe.
Yes.
Okay. Representative Johnson is recognized.
Thank you. The piece that goes to transportation safety, there was a 50-cent fee that was being charged that came, the AG's opinion declared that unconstitutional. Does this money contemplate that 50 cents that, I may be confusing my sources of 50 cents.
So you're right about the 50 cents, and it did go to,
Awesome was the program.
Thank you for transportation safety. But that is not included on this number.
Okay, so that 50 cents now has just disappeared. And if Awesome were going to be refunded, then we'd have to go out and hunt for other money someplace else.
That's correct.
Okay.
There's absolutely no way, following the Attorney General's review of it, that you could where would you even begin to fund awesome? It'd have to be general fund at that point. I can't think of another way that you could create a nexus. Awesome addresses a lot of driving issues and responsibility issues for leadership youngsters. And I'm trying to figure out how you'd ever even after following AG's opinion to try and get that money back in anywhere here.
Well, I guess intellectually I understood that. I was just trying to understand when you said some of this would come back into safety programs. I didn't know whether we were finding an additional source of money, and it sounds like the answer is no. And the kinds of safety programs then that some of this money goes back to, where it says transfer to the highway fund, TF, I'm not sure I know what...
Trust fund.
Thank you.
Trust
fund. $70 million, and you said some of that transportation safety had a little piece of...
That's my understanding, and I would ask the department to correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the money that goes to the schools, is reimbursed to the schools for their driver safety education program.
Student driver.
How much of that? $70 million is a breathtaking amount of money. How much of that goes
to the student driver training?
Be interesting if you could provide enough within that transfer to be able to help with that awesome program.
Still run into the legal hurdles.
You still have the legal issue there. And there isn't money in the general fund to address it.
$5.7 million is going to transportation safety.
At the school level, that's secondary.
Right.
Okay.
And that basically is just a pass-through, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. We've heard the recommendations down to one dash three. And then the recommendation on number two was to reserve $2.5 million in ending balance for technology packages. Could you be specific on that, please, Susie?
Yes, Mr. Chair. In the agency's request, they've asked for several packages, technology packages. And you'll find those on page 5 of 6 in the blue sheet. The DMV fees, the credit and debit cards, the internet commerce, electronic liens and titles, driver check scheduling system, driver system infrastructure. And the recommendation here is that the agency appear before the Joint Legislative Information Management Technology Committee and present all of their technology packages, including the ones that they had identified for their base budget, for approval from that committee, and then seek funding from the emergency board. That is the recommendation that we discussed coming out of the Advancing E-Government Committee, and I'm continuing that recommendation. That reserves the money in their ending balance for those packages once they're approved.
That's $3,244,000 if I'm looking at the debit credit card 303K, 303L, 303M, 303N is in Nancy, and 303O is in Oliver. There's a total of $3.244 million.
Right, but the 303N and O are being recommended that they may be able to use their base budget resources if priorities are established. Revisited.
So you're backing out 126 and you're backing out 527. Okay.
However, if they come back and the Joint Legislative Information Management Technology Committee approves those as well, then they would also have to be.
So just be less amount transferred to the Highway Trust Fund at that point.
That's correct.
Okay. Is there any question about that what we've done is there's still another $2.5 million package there that would be available? Are there Are there any questions for Legislative Fiscal Office in that regard?
Well, Mr. Chairman, that means we unschedule it until we hear from the Technology Committee.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dee, no, we're not requesting unscheduling. We're not, I'm not recommending an expenditure limitation at this time.
Oh, I see.
It has to be approved by the E-Board. The monies would be there at the E-Board after the interim committee
mm-hmm.
was able to give a recommendation.
Well, if we don't approve it, then there will not be money in the E-Board to be approved.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, this doesn't go, this is on other funds. It's not general fund that has to go into the emergency board. So the emergency board can't increase their expenditure limitation as long as the department has the revenue in their funds to pay for it.
Oh, all we have to do is increase the limitation.
That's correct.
Okay. You've heard, and with the recognizing Representative Smith's comment relative to the $155,000, that's no small amount to sniff at, and a portion of that certainly was as a result of the fact that I think in the interim, with the actual no vote, and there was one other vote too that was taken, and that was the actual transportation cost study, the weight mile cost study, cost responsibility
mm-hmm.
study
mm-hmm.
That was done in that process. So I think the department, I hope they acted totally in good faith in doing what they've done and closing those offices, and now we've got some one-time costs in the vicinity of that $155,000 to reopen those offices. Legislative Fiscal Office then recommends the recommendation relative to policy option package 203, recommends number 1, 1-1, 1-2, and 1-3, and then relative to number 2, the reserve of $2.5 million for technology packages. Are there any objections to the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendation?
This is on House Bill 2139.
This is on 5545 right now.
I just wonder what vehicle this is occurring in, and we're back now in ODOT's main budget.
Main budget, yes,
okay.
Ma'am. That, and we haven't, the DMV portion of it, because we didn't have a funding vehicle to fund it at that point.
Right.
We come back to this point.
One last.
Yes, Representative Johnson.
The additional budget notes 1-5 on page 2 and 3 of your memo, Ms. Jordan, those accompany the budget notes that are already in place from our previous discussion about the department's budget.
Correct.
Thank you.
And I'll go through those after we vote on
okay.
Okay.
Are there any objections to recommendations 1 and 2 as amplified? Seeing none and hearing none, we will order then the legislative recommendation, LFO recommendation 1 and 2. And then relative to the budget notes, Ms. Jordan, or
I'm
well, I guess.
I'm going to start with this number 3 that's
okay.
Just above the additional budget note, just because it goes with the increase in limitation and the increase in revenue from the fee bill, that the committee, subcommittee adopt an expectation that the Oregon Transportation Commission will request appropriate expenditure limitation from the emergency board for priority highway construction projects from the projected remaining ending balance available for highway programs. And at this point, it includes net revenue from fee increases somewhere between 18 and 20 million, and that includes the 13.8 million that the department had anticipated, plus what may be left if DMV's expenditure limitations aren't authorized by the emergency board. I also would like to just add a caveat to that. The revenue projections have been declining, and so that number is going to fluctuate. So that's why.
So it may be less than that.
It may be less than that.
And that the commission should plan to go ahead and seek opportunities for construction projects somewhere within that amount.
The reason for that expectation is to give direction to the Transportation Commission that their priority, their general priority for preserving roads and bridges would be maintained by the projects or that they would forward to the emergency board during the interim.
Okay. Are there any questions relative to that? This again addresses a portion of the potential excess and expects the Transportation Commission to go ahead and begin the process of examining their priorities relative to those construction projects. Are there any objections to fiscal note 3? Senator Yee?
So I'm guessing their condition now, say, is 77% good, and we want to move it up to the present condition of 78% in fair condition. Is that what you're saying?
It could be for highway improvements at that point.
To maintain fair condition
of
the highway.
Yeah, to advance the conditions.
Mm-hmm. Not advance, not go behind, because right now they are a little behind.
Right, but mm-hmm. to increase the percentage of good and fair.
Condition on the highway.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
As their high priority. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go ahead and now let's see. In that regard, you've got with the highway transportation where that could be used for highway maintenance and improvement. We had previously approved some discussion, or we'd had some discussion on the aggregate position. Representative Smith, would you please take the lead there?
Thank you, Chair Miller. I was hoping Representative Johnson would be in the room. If I remember correctly, we on Schedule 2 FTE. Representative Johnson, I just asked the question a while back when we were approving the original portion of the budget. We on Schedule 2 FTE in the aggregate. And so I'm glad you're in the room so we can have this conversation.
That's not,
Mr. Chair, no, I guess I'm the chair.
That's not my recollection. I thought it was just one.
I just don't know which program it was in highway.
But no, it was in transportation development branch.
It was just one position.
What was, follow-up question. What was the role of that position? And I don't know who I direct that question to, whether it's the department or...
Madam Chair and Representative Smith, the position, as I remember, was needed to provide... this is the position that was to work for the Department of Transportation to inventory and put together a coordinated plan for all of their aggregate sites around the state. And the issue that was raised by Representative Johnson was that this may be a duplicate, or they may the way the position was presented to the committee is that the work that they that the work has already been done, and that they were what they would be doing may be a duplicate of something that's already being done by DLCD, and we wanted to make sure that that wasn't being duplicated before we scheduled the funding.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Johnson?
Well, not only duplicated, I had asked for the work on the inventory of the sites when I first came down here, and it was produced for me in the space of about 3 weeks. I know that that work is maintained by the Department of it used to be TDB, now it's TDD, Transportation Development Division now. I know that that I have the inventory in my office. So the work is largely done, and I didn't know why they needed $158,000 to do this work. Now, one other thing is that we are creating aggregate specialists in several agencies. DLCD has an aggregate specialist, ODOT has an aggregate specialist, and I don't know at what point in time we have every special interest that needs a specialist inside an agency coming down and asking for one.
I'd like one for 4-2, please.
I mean, I just think that when I came down to Salem, it was with the idea that I didn't understand why we had an aggregate specialist in DLCD, given that there are all sorts of other interests that would like to have positions there, like people interested in wetlands issues, people interested in wildlife issues. Why it was that of the goals in Goal 5, we singled out to have a special position be aggregate. So I came down here with the intention of going home with no aggregate positions. I think now to have two aggregate positions in two state agencies is outrageous.
Representative Smith is recognized.
Thank you, Chair Butler. I was wondering if the department can come up because I'd like to ask a specific question. That's fine.
We're in work session. We will hear from the department. Mr. Mark.
How many quarries does the state own and maintain?
Mr. Chair and Representative Smith, how many quarries? I don't have the number off the top of the ones that we maintain, but I can certainly get that for you.
In excess of 300?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say it was that many. It depends on when you're talking about maintain, where you have to, we would get back with you about the number that are actually ones that we work with the private sector for bringing forward the aggregate, or the ones where we actually have a contract for the aggregate.
When you originally scheduled the position, what was your intent of the position?
Our intent was to have us work with DLCD, DLCD being a different role than us thinking through the business side of getting the aggregate supplied in an efficient manner, as well as considering the issues around land use and where it's coming from. DLCD's primary function is dealing with the land use and the planning component about where it goes. Our primary component is both natural resource, but also thinking primarily about how we get that aggregate for getting projects completed. So it's a little different role between us, with a primary one being on the construction aggregate coming in for getting projects done, and DLCD looking at it from the standpoint of, in essence, natural resource or land use planning function.
Representative Johnson is recognized.
Given that this position at DLCD was funded by ODOT for a long time, and given that we're constantly hunting for efficiencies, I see absolutely no reason why information can't be shared back and forth between the two agencies. Mm-hmm. I am dumbfounded to know why we need a proliferation of aggregate-specific positions inside agencies, and if we're truly looking for efficiencies, there's $158,000 by eliminating the aggregate position at ODOT.
Further comments, Representative, or questions, Representative Smith or Representative Johnson? Yes, Representative Johnson.
I would just amplify by saying we're not eliminating it. We're unscheduling it for the time being to give the agency an opportunity to come back in and explain why they can't collaborate with DLCD in the use of a position that used to be jointly funded.
Go ahead, Susie.
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, I don't know where you're going with this questioning.
I'm just trying to figure out why we unscheduled a position in FTE when I understand we have over 300 cores. I think we have an asset management issue, and I think, you know, with all due respect, I think we just have a difference of opinion. I think this is a very important issue to Representative Johnson, and I'm going to respect that.
And the position had been approved but unscheduled, is my recollection?
Right. That's correct.
Because it was already, or we were of the understanding it's already been approved in another division, and if there is one approved already in another division, and that budget does go through, then there's a good likelihood that you wouldn't need two aggregate
you
positions.
You need a second one.
Okay. And so did we set the sideboards high enough for the second position? With regard to the unscheduling,
they need to report to the emergency board and to get it unscheduled.
Okay.
They being the Oregon Department of Transportation,
needs
to come to the E board to get the position unscheduled.
And if they had their information together by the Sine Die emergency board, they were invited to bring it forward to them.
Mr. Chair, we're understanding invitation potentially to Sine Die e-board or to a later e-board and bring that information in. And I am corrected on the number. I think it is closer to 300 than I was thinking. So I think the representative is correct. It's in that neighborhood.
Mr. Marsh, recognizing the angst that members of the committee have over this second position, the second aggregate position, can you make certain that before it does become before the e-board, that you would communicate with the members of this committee the subcommittee so that they were even, whether or not they are members of the e-board or not, that they would have an opportunity to see and examine the work that's being done by ODOT to justify or to bypass that.
Mr. Chair, yes, we will.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now, coming back to the additional budget notes, I think we had reviewed three of the five notes previously.
Yes, I'm going to run through them real quickly so you can adopt the budget notes. The first one was a budget note Representative Patrick had requested. The co-chairs have approved. The department has asked for a slight modification that is would go in after the second sentence, so I'll read it very quickly. The department, the director of the department shall convene a work group that includes local governments to produce a report of environmental and land use laws, rules and construction standards that drive up costs on highway roads and street construction projects. The report shall include an inventory of the law or mandate and indication where state laws differ from federal laws and a list of potential solutions or policy choices that the legislature might pursue to lower costs, and then to add into that, which will highlight highlight areas of departure between state and federal statutory and regulatory requirement language that gives the gap that would help reduce the impact on state programs, and that the department then shall report to the appropriate interim transportation policy committee. Representative Patridge asked that the Department of Administrative Services be requested to unschedule $11.2 million of the central services budget until the report has been accepted by the emergency board. The second budget note was Representative Ringo had requested that the department report on whether the new computer system to track uninsured motorists actually has resulted in deterring motorists from driving without insurance. The third one is a budget note that all departments are being put in all department budgets relating to public web server, the request of advancing e-government. The fourth one is a budget note to accompany the older driver program request by the department that they, Oregon Department of Transportation was asked by the 99 legislature in House Bill 2446 to study the effects of aging upon driving ability and report the results of the study to the legislature. The report provided to members of the Transportation Committee provided a number of recommendations, but failed to establish the extent of the problem in Oregon. And before implementing any recommendations, the department needs to provide the legislature with appropriate comparative statistical information to establish a basis for implementing changes in the driver program. The driver shall provide a report by December 2002 to the emergency board and appropriate interim policy committee regarding the extent of the problem in Oregon, along with a responsible minimal program that can be enacted to improve the safety risks that may be identified. The department may provide a range of options from the minimal program to the comprehensive strategy proposed with this budget.
I think there was a House bill that passed out today that expressed many of those same concerns. So that basically that addresses the senior driving problem, but I think it was targeted to a specific group of drivers. So.
And then the fifth budget note is the Oregon Department of Transportation is expected to develop and implement a communication strategy that will provide direct personal contact with affected property owners during the initial planning phases of any highway construction project, and the department shall report the results to the emergency board by December 2002.
Okay. I want to make sure that we have members of the committee.
Did you get a copy of the performance report summary?
I think I did.
Mm-hmm. I just like to say a word about the prioritization of the performance measure. When is it good time to say
that?
And we do have all the
Really, I want to be sensitive to those of you who have 3:30 meetings. And I have one myself, but I think at this time we could go ahead and approve the five budget notes as recommended. Representative Johnson moves that we approve the five budget notes. Are there any objections? If seeing none, we'll go ahead and approve those five budget notes. I think with that, I think that's, there's a, an additional statement of expectations, and
then you've got the individual amendments.
I think we'll just come back to the individual amendments and finish off 55, 55-45 Central, 55-45 at, do you want to go ahead and read the statement of expectations and get that incorporated in right now?
There are two statements of expectations relating to the DMV program. It expects the director to provide implementation plans for legislation that is passed by the legislature, taking into account measures that are expected to reduce costs along with measures that require an increase in expenditure limitation to implement the new requirements. And it is expected that the plan will identify the most cost-effective and efficient means of implementing legislation, taking into account existing programs and staff that are able to incorporate the work activity involved in approved legislation. And then the last expectation is the $2.5 million to be reserved in the ending balance for technology packages. And then following, do you want me to move right along?
Well, I think with that, we'd better go ahead and... We're infringing pretty seriously on the other time.
The last two pages are the actual amendments of the work that you've already done in the bill, putting it in the bill. And there are two changes to that. One, I'm recommending an addition to the maintenance. And special programs that there be a separate line item for utility permits, inspections, engineering, and highway right of way to accommodate a house bill that's on its way to the subcommittee for utilities who work in the public right of way. That as part of the agreement on passing that bill, they asked that their limitation be separated in the budget bill, and so I'm just showing that here. For that purpose. It doesn't change the approval by the committee, it just separates that one cost.
And that says to line one, page?
Page one, line 20, and then you'll see it again in page two, line two of Senate Bill 5545. Otherwise, all of the amendments in the bill are in bold as approved by the subcommittee in your work session.
Okay, and relative, for instance, the DMV, page 2, line 7, the $66,576 DMV debt service
yes.
has not previously been approved?
Yes, it has been.
Has been,
yes.
Okay.
The reason it's small is there's no change to the bill.
Oh, I
the
see.
Budget bill.
Okay. Everything else has already been approved?
Yes.
Okay. Mike Marsh had a comment just a moment ago. I want to make sure that, Mike, did you have something for the committee?
Mr. Chair, Mike Marsh from ODA. There were just a couple of concerns regarding the budget notes. I don't need to take your time now if this is going to have further discussion later. If this is the last discussion on the subject, I'd like to just make a couple of points clear or a couple of request items. But
what I would like to do is I would like to go ahead and proceed to pass this out, but back to the co-chairs, there was some concern that they had to possibly sit on it before it goes to full. So, other than that, that was a concern that I had. However, take counsel, Representative Johnson.
I wouldn't mind having just a little tiny bit more time if we could leave this over until tomorrow. My reason for asking is, first of all, I'd like to have a thoughtful discussion of the agency's response to the budget notes, and some of us were doing another committee 25 minutes ago. The other question I have is, I still am not sure completely what DMV is getting. And I'm coming back to my question about defined needs. I'm struggling with trying to see how this fits together, their request versus what this budget appears to give them. And I apologize for needing the remedial education on it,
no.
But I do.
It's not on, so we just have to gavel it over for the now then. Can we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Recognizing again that we are, thank you very much, Mr. Mark, recognizing that we are out of time and we are encroaching upon other committees' times, we will go ahead and gavel over the continuation of Senate Bill 5545's work session to to tomorrow at even time. 1 o'clock is the scheduled time, unless otherwise posted.
I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about performance measures.
Tomorrow as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, we can certainly do that on our work session, and we will hold this work session over on 5545, Senate Bill 5545, until tomorrow at even time. Thank you very much.